Let's have prayer together before we share what God has this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise, Lord, that not any of it would ever return void, but that it would accomplish the purpose that you intended and it would prosper the thing for which you sent it forth. We know, Father, that it's your word that saves. It's your word that heals. It's your word that sets and makes free. It's your word that washes and cleanses. It's your word that keeps free. We know that your word is your power, that you have revealed yourself to us in your word, not only your ways, but your very self, your own being. You've given revelation of yourself in the word. We acknowledge, Father, that as we would know you better, and as we would hunger and desire to know you as you know us, that you're going to reveal yourself to us in your word. And so if we're going to have a true understanding of you, if we're going to have a true knowledge of you, if we're going to have a personal relationship with you, we must have it through your word. Through your living word, Jesus, and through this Logos word that you have recorded for us here in the Holy Bible. Now, you've called us together this morning, Father, not just because it's Sunday, but because you said that we are to feed upon your word. That just in the same way as we need physical food to nourish our physical bodies, we also need the spiritual food of your word to nourish our spirits. You said that we should desire the sincere milk of the word, that we should grow thereby. And so we know, Father, that you have called us to come together today that we might be fed, our spirit man might be fed on your word, and that our minds might be renewed by your word. We know, Lord, that there's something very important that you want us to see this morning, each and every one of us. That there's not anybody here this morning who has come just as a spectator, but that every person who is here today is destined to receive something from you. You've brought us together for that purpose. I pray, Father, that you would cause the anointing that is within me to live big within me, and the word that you have caused to dwell within me to come forth this morning boldly and clearly. And I pray, Father, that every ear and every heart in this place would be anointed, those that know you and those that don't, that you would cause every ear to be opened and every heart to be softened, so that as the word is sown, that it would find fertile fields in which to take lodging and root and grow and produce the fruit of righteousness. I bless you and thank you, Father, for that which you're going to say to us today through the word. And in Jesus' name, I give you the praise. Amen. I find that there are many that are living the Christian life, but in many ways are unhappy, are unsatisfied, are not walking in the fullness of God's rest, are not enjoying the completeness of God's peace, are not experiencing joy unspeakable and full of glory, do not really know, even though they've been born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, do not know why it is that they're not enjoying the full inheritance. That don't know why they feel miserable. Don't know why that their relationship with God oftentimes is hindered. And I believe that the Lord wants to show us this morning one very important area whereby many of us may be walking apart from God's word and thusly walking apart from the fullness of the riches of his inheritance. Let's read this 91st Psalm. Follow along with me as I read. It's a favorite of God's people. It's full of wonderful promises, and it is that which we all desire. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now that looks like a good place to be, doesn't it? In the secret place of the Most High, in the shadow of the Almighty. God says that there is a place like that, that His people can dwell. In His own shadow and in His own protection. And when His children dwell in that secret place, when His people dwell in His own very shadow, He says that fear shall not come against you. He says that the fowler shall not be able to snare you. He says that pestilence will not be able to take you. He says that a plague will never come into your dwelling. He says that, thousands and ten thousands shall fall on both sides of you, but they shall not come near you. He says you will see all these things happening to others, but they will not happen to you. He says you will walk on the wild beasts and you will step on the snakes. And they shall not bite you and they shall not harm you because God has established you in His own shadow in the secret place of the Most High God. I don't know about you, but I want to know where that spot is. That sounds to me like a good place to be. Where the pestilence and the fear and the torment and the enemy and the plague and the evil cannot get me. And cannot get you. How about you? There is such a place. God said in His Word, He that dwells there. There is a place like that for God's people. He wants His people to dwell in His very own shadow. In other places in the Word of God, it's called the pavilion of God. And some of you know what I'm talking about because you have been there. And you've been inside the pavilion of God. And you've seen outside. You've seen the roaring out there. You can hear it like a dull noise. They're roaring. They're fighting. They're arguing. They're striving. You see the evil round about you, but you are in the pavilion of God and you are at rest and you are at peace and there's nothing that comes against you when you're in God's shadow, when you're in His pavilion. Do you know what I'm talking about? Many of you have been there. You know what that's like. And the evil want those to come against you. They come and they come and they come, but they don't hurt you. Why not? Because you're in the shadow of the Almighty God and nothing shall harm you when you're there. Nothing. It doesn't matter how loud they roar. It doesn't matter how wicked they become. It does not matter how awful is the noise. When you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, in the shadow of the Almighty, there isn't anything that matters except Him. And God wants us to dwell in that place. Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of John, one of the most beautiful prayers. He said, Father, I do not ask you to take my people out of this world. He said, I just ask you to keep them from the evil that's in it. God will deliver you out of the evil that's in this world, not by snatching you out, although that will come one day. But today, in this last day, when He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, He wants you to preach His Word. He wants you to share the goodness which is Jesus Christ. He wants you to be His eyes and His ears, and most importantly, His mouth. He wants you to be His lovers in the earth, to share the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ with those that are round about who have no other way to know Jesus. So He said, I don't want you to take them out, Father, because if you do, I won't have any witness here. I won't have any body left here. But I do pray you, Father, that you would keep them from the evil that is still here. Bless God, the Father heard that prayer. And David said way many hundreds of years before that there is a secret place in God where no evil shall befall you. The New Testament, Paul calls that hidden with Christ in God, in a secret place. There is a secret place. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, please, the 28th chapter. I believe this is the central point that God wants us to see this morning. That place for the believer is in Christ Jesus. That when we are hidden in Christ, we are hidden from the evil of this world. The secret place of the Most High God, the shadow of the Almighty, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You come into Christ through the new birth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, but if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are hidden. Our hiding place from the evils of this world is in Christ Jesus. When we are born again through the miracle of the new birth, we come into Christ. That's where we're to be hidden. But I believe what God wants us to see is how we are coming out into an area, out from the shadow of God, out from the secret place of our own free will. We're coming out, and the enemy is destroying us when we come out. As long as I stay inside my house, there isn't any way that a bear can get me. There's no way that he's going to get in that house. But if I open the door and step out where the bear is, he's going to get me. He'll attack. As long as I'm in the house, no problem. But when I open the door and come out, look out. Now, this is what is happening. Many of God's people, without knowing it, are opening the door. They are walking out. The bear is clawing at them and ripping at them. And they're crying out, oh God! Oh God, where are you? Oh God, oh God! All they have to do is step back in the house. Now God's going to show us where the house is today. Deuteronomy 28. Verse number 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Then he goes on to list a number of blessings. Then down in verse number 15. The Lord says this through Moses, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And he goes on to list a number of curses, which are the curses of the law. Now go down to verse number 28 and follow along with me here and see if this sounds familiar to some of you. "And the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled any more, evermore, and no man shall save thee." Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you didn't know what to do? What am I going to do? The oppression is so heavy upon you, the confusion that's so heavy that comes upon you, the fear, the doubt. What am I going to do? How am I going to extricate myself from this situation? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to get my family straightened out? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Astonishment of heart. Now I want to take you to the New Testament and show you some things, and there's some things in here for everybody. Turn to the book of Colossians, please. This has been made, this truth, it's a very simple truth. You may think of going way around the barn in order to get to it. But I have seen in the lives of several people who are very important to me in recent months how this works. I've seen this very thing worked out in the lives of people. Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 18. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands," your own husbands, "as is fit in the Lord." Now what does it mean to submit? It means to be in subjection to or in submission to. Now, does God's word say that a wife should submit to her husband? That she should obey her husband? In Titus, the second chapter, the wife is told, the older women are told to teach the younger women how to obey their husbands. All right, now let's keep reading here. "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." All right, now the three categories in there I want you to see. Number one, he says, wives, be in submission or subjection or obedience to your husbands. He says, children, obey your parents. He says, those of you who work for someone else, he calls them here servants, he would say in our day, employees, obey those who are your bosses. Now turn, please, to the book of Titus. Chapter number 2. Verse number 15. "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to do to every good work. Paul says in Romans, the 13th chapter, that every man is to be subject to the powers, because there is no power, no governing authority, except that which is appointed or ordained by God. All right, now we could go all the way through this book, and we could see many, many references to the things that we've just read. We've just looked at a couple of them. This is what I want you to see. God says, children, obey your parents. Kids, listen to me. He said, children, obey your parents. He did not say, obey those who are right. He said, obey your parents. He said, wives, obey your husbands. He did not say, obey those that are right. He did not say, obey those that agree with you. He did not say, obey those that give you a clear enough understanding of what it is that they want you to do, that you can understand and agree with it and do it. He said, all of you, obey your civil authority. Obey the government of the land, because I've put it there. And he says in the book of Hebrews, turn to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And we're laying a foundation here, which I think if you haven't seen it already, you're going to see it very quickly. Where is that place? Where is that secret place? Where is the shadow of the Almighty? Where is that place we can dwell? Hebrews chapter 13. This was very difficult for me to understand, very difficult for me to receive because of my upbringing and my background. Verse number 7 first. Remember them, remember Paul is writing to the church here, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. All right, what's God saying? He said, children, obey your parents. He said, wives, obey your husbands. He said, citizens, obey your government. He said, church, obey your pastors and your leaders. Why should you do that? Because God has appointed that authority over us. God has established. You wives may not like the idea that your husband is the authority who's established over you. Some of you wives may not like that. It doesn't really matter whether you like it or not. Honest, it doesn't. God's established it that way. God's established it. And the Word says that He is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent or change His mind. God's not changing His mind. He won't change it for you or 100 million like you. God has established His way. And His way is that the wife is to be in submission to her husband, whether he's right or not. The parent is to obey the child, whether the parent is, or the or vice versa, whether the parent is right or not. Don't you kids get excited now. The church is to follow the leading of its pastor and its elders, whether they're right or not. Why is that? Because God said that. Let me tell you something that I have discovered. The happiest wives, bless God, the happiest wives, the ones that walk in peace and in rest and in joy, the ones that live happy and blessed lives, are those that who have learned to line up with God's Word in this way. The happiest children are not those children who are constantly rebelling against their parents, but those children who have said, I don't care whether my dad's right or wrong, God said I'm to obey Him, and bless God, I will. Now that's a happy kid. That's a happy child. I've seen so many instances of this very thing. Failing to obey The constituted authority which God has established. Don't ask me why he did it that way. He did. He said he did. Failure to honor that line of authority causes God's people unwittingly to open the door, to step out, and the bear goes woo, woo, woo like this, and they come running to the pastor's office bloody. Pastor, the bear got me. For a long time, I didn't know why the bear was getting them. And I'm not saying that this is the only reason the bear gets them, but it is the primary one that I have seen. Turn to the book of Genesis, please. I want you to see this principle. It's very important we get this. Genesis chapter 2. Verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man. Who did God take? The man. Did he take the man and the woman? What's it say? He took the man. See, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Who did he command? Who, please? The man. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Eve was not made yet. God gave his command to Adam. Now look at Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now who told Eve that? Adam told her that, didn't he? She said, God said, through my husband. God spoke to her husband and said, you're not to eat. She knew she wasn't supposed to eat because her husband told her so. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, etc. You know what happened? She took of the fruit. She ate it. She gave it to her husband, and he ate it. They both died that day. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. And if you'll read down through the third chapter, you'll see that when God came to see them in the garden that day, came to have fellowship with them, where were they? They were hiding. And God said, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Adam? Adam, where are you? And Adam sheepishly stuck his face out and he said, I was afraid. I was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because by their disobedience, they had walked out from the secret place of the Most High God. They had separated themselves from the shadow of the Almighty, and now they had fear. They never knew fear before. Now they were afraid. What happened there that day? I don't know that it happened quite like this, but if you'll allow me a little liberty, I'll tell you a little bit about some of the things that I hear and what I suspect happened that day. The devil came to Eve and he said, what did God say? She said, well, my husband says that God says that we shouldn't eat of the fruit that's in the center of the garden. We're supposed to eat all the rest of it. That's okay, but we're not allowed to eat that. And the devil said, well, how do you really know that? She says, well, my husband said so. He says, well, did you hear God say it? No, I didn't hear God. My husband said it, but I didn't hear God. Well, then how do you really know God said it? Maybe God didn't really say that. And then she would say, well, God, what about that? No answer. God, what about that? Is it all right if we eat of that fruit? No answer. God, what do you think about that? Is it okay? Or did Adam not hear from you? No answer. Well, I guess maybe it's all right. Let me have some of that fruit. And she ate it. I don't know how many times I have heard children say to me and wives say to me, now I just use those two as examples, but you men, you got your own situations, all right? Have said to me, well, my husband says I ought to do this. My father and mother think I ought to do this, but I don't think so. I'm asking God directly. I'm going to get my answer straight from God. Now, let me tell you wives something. And let me tell you young people something. God's way is to speak to you children through your parents. And God's way is to speak to you wives through your husbands. And God's way is to speak to His church through those He has called to lead His church. And God's way to speak to our citizenry is through those that have been called to govern us. That's God's way. And we find ourselves frequently in disobedience when we go to God and we say, God, my husband said that I'm supposed to do thus and so. God, my dad said that I should do this, but that's impossible. I can't do that. Lord, my government says I should do this and so. Lord, the pastor says that we're to do thus and so. But that's not right. One of our brothers opened my eyes about 2 weeks ago. And he and I had been having some difficulty. Yes, true, pastors have problems too. We've been having some difficulty one with another. And I was walking in God's peace and in God's rest, and unfortunately, he was not. He was in turmoil. He was in confusion. He was not able to hear the voice of God. God had tried to deal with him on numerous occasions, and he was unable to receive it. And finally, many weeks went by, and this brother was very miserable, very miserable. Now, I tried to minister to him on a number of occasions, and unsuccessfully, wouldn't receive it. Finally, one day, he said to me, you know, the Lord has made it clear to me. Now, please understand this, people. No, never mind. It's all right. You just hear the word. He said, the Lord has said unto me that you are not the pastor, you are my pastor. You're not the pastor, you are my pastor. And he's told me that I'm to obey you even if you're wrong. Because if you're wrong and I'm right, if I do the right thing and disobey you, that makes me wrong. He said, if you're wrong and I'm right, as long as I'm obeying you, then I'm right with God, and you're the one that's in trouble with God, not me. Because I'm obeying you like God told me to, and He will take care of me. He'll provide for me. And that if you're wrong, what I should do is not disobey you, but pray for you. Now, that's not easy to do sometimes. Now, you take that same situation, you see, and you apply that to your own personal life. You young people, I want you to know that God is serious about this. God's not playing games about this. This is important to you. It's why, you young folks, this is why your lives are so miserable sometimes. It's because you will not listen to your mother and father. God doesn't say that your mom and dad are always right. But He says you're wrong if you don't listen to them, and you're going to hurt. Wives, He does not say that your husbands are always right. But He does say if you will not yield yourself to Him, if you will not surrender yourself to Him, if you will not put yourself into willing obedience to Him, that you'll hurt. It'll hurt you. And he says, church, your pastor and your elders are not always right. But if the elder who's in charge of the Sunday school program says, I believe God wants us to do this, then bless God, if you're involved in the Sunday school program, you do it the way he said. If God's got a man that's building this building here, these renovations, and his wisdom is in him, and he says we ought to paint the walls this way instead of this way, then bless God, if that's wrong and dumb, you do it this way, the way he said. God will honor that. God will honor this. In Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter. I remember the first time I read this and I thought, how hard. But I see it now. Deuteronomy 21. Verse number 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son. Okay, now this is here's talking about a son. We've talked about wives. We've talked about men in the church. We've talked about the civil. It's all the same principle. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's all the same principle. Whatever scripture we use for whatever aspect of this, it applies across the board. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother, this is God's law now, under the old covenant, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, or whatever his situation is. And all of the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. Why do you do that, God? So shalt thou put the evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, when God set this into motion, he was not playing games. The penalty for disobedience was death. God has given us a wonderful example in the New Testament of how we are to be in submission or subjection or obedience to those whom God has established over us. That man's name was Jesus. If you'll look with me, please, in the Gospel of Luke, let me show you something about the life of this wonderful man. The Son of God. Luke chapter 2. You remember what I said to you? It does not matter whether your parents are right. It doesn't matter if your husband is right. It doesn't matter if your pastor is right. It doesn't matter if your city council is right. It only matters that you are right by being in willing obedience to what God has constituted over you. Jesus in chapter 2 of the book of Luke. Jesus had been left, you'll remember, in Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, where they went for the census, and they were 3 days, his mother and father were 3 days' journey going back to Nazareth, and they couldn't find their son, and they turned and went back to Jerusalem to look for him, to see where he was, and they finally found him in the temple. He'd been 3 days there teaching the rabbis and the scribes. And they were confounded with his knowledge. They were confounded with what he knew. Verse number 48, this is his mother and father. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Because thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now that sounds maybe like a rebellious son, doesn't it? But listen on. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God, was subject and obedient to his earthly parents, even though he knew that God Almighty was his Father and that God had called him to a wonderful work. He was subject to his mother and father. We look at Jesus and we marvel at him that he could obey. In the book of Philippians, the second chapter, it says he became obedient even unto the death of the cross. How do you think Jesus learned how to become obedient so he could go to the cross? How did he become that obedient? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Yet learned he obedience. He learned how to obey. From a small boy, he learned how to obey. So that when it came time for him to be in the garden, he said, Lord, if there be another way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, thy will be done. You do not take a rebellious child. You do not take a rebellious young man and take him into the garden at Gethsemane. And he says, yes, God, I'll die. God's way is obedience. He has established obedience as the way to remain in the secret place. I say unto you this morning, by God's word and by the experience of God's people, if you insist on operating in disobedience against that which is constituted over you as authority, and that includes myself, I speak to myself. If you insist on being in disobedience, then you are insisting on opening the door and walking out where the bear is. Now, if the bear is clawing at you this morning, if the lions are growling around your ankles, then you look unto yourself. You look unto yourself and see, where am I? Am I in obedience to the authority which God has constituted and established over me? Just because you've been born again and just because you've been filled with the Holy Ghost does not automatically make you obedient. But I can say to you that disobedience or resistance will cause you to be separated from the fullness of God's joy, from the fullness of God's peace, and the fullness of God's rest. In Isaiah, the first chapter, the 19th verse, God said this, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured of the sword. Many of us in times past have said unto God, Father, I need thus and so. Lord, give me thus and so. Lord, tell me what I should do. When the authority that is constituted over us has already spoken, the husband has already spoken, the mother or father has already spoken, the pastor and the elders have already spoken, the civil authority has already spoken. Many times that's why you don't get anything else from God, because he's already spoken to you. He's already told you. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I'll not ask you how many receive it. I believe those of you that know God and those of you that know Jesus Christ, those of you that are open to his word will receive it. I can promise you that if you're willing and obedient, not only to God. See, it's easy to obey God for many of us. We say, oh, that's, if God would just tell me, then I would be glad to do it. If God would tell me, I'd stand on my head at 5 points. If God would just tell me. But I'm not doing it if my husband tells me. If God would tell me, I would do anything. But I'm not doing it if my dad tells me. If God would tell me, I'd do anything. But I'm not going to do it if my pastor tells me. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Let us pray. Father, you've shown us some things today that we've not seen before. We've not heard before. And Father, in all truth, they go against much of which we have heard. For we've heard for so long that we're to do our own thing. That we're to make our own decisions. But you gave us a mind and you want us to act on our own. We see by your word, Father, that that's not true. that even Jesus himself, who was our example, humbled himself and was obedient, even to Pilate, and he died. But we see what you did because of that obedience. We see what you were able to do with him and through him because he obeyed the authority that you had established over him. We know, Father, as children, that you could have put us in any home. It was your decision to do. Therefore, the home that we've been born into is apparently in your plan. And our mothers and fathers are apparently just the ones that you wanted us to have. We see your hand working, Father, in all of these areas. We see, Father, how important obedience is. And forgive us, Lord, when we have thought others should be obedient to us, but we have not been willing to obey anybody but you. Forgive us, Father, when we have expected others to obey and submit to us, when we have not been willing to submit to that one or ones that you have constituted over us. We do thank you and praise you today, Father, that you're not changing your ways to suit us, but that you are rather changing us to suit your ways. That you're causing us to see more and more of your truth, and that you are requiring us to grow up. You are requiring us to get off of milk and eat meat. You are requiring us to be teachers of others rather than to be taught ourselves. You're requiring us to walk in the fullness of your commandments. You're requiring us to do all that you've commanded us to do. And Father, we pray today that you would just ask you, Lord, don't let us get away with anything that would hinder your doing in our lives the fullest that you desire to do. Continue to teach us, Father. Continue to direct us by your Holy Spirit. Continue to guide us that we might walk in that straight way. Jesus said the gate was narrow and the way straight. We want to walk in that straight way because we want to dwell in your shadow, in that secret place of rest and of peace. So we ask you to forgive us this morning, Father, for any disobedience. For anything that we have done, Lord, that could be called disobedience against that one or ones that you've established over us. For we know that you have established them over us for our good. Not for our destruction, but for our benefit. And today, our Father, we surrender up to you any resentment which we may hold towards a husband, towards a father or mother, towards a pastor or an elder, towards an overseer or a spiritual authority of any kind, towards our civil authority and our government. We surrender any resentment, any unforgiveness, Lord, to you, and we ask for forgiveness for disobedience. In Jesus' name this morning, Father, we receive your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you this morning, Father, that as we've yielded to you, that you restore us to complete fellowship, that you do bring us back joyfully into the secret place, that you restore us to your shadow where no evil shall befall us and no pestilence, no fear, no torment. And we ask you too today, Father, that as we are tempted to come out from behind or out from inside that secret place of peace and rest, that you would sound the warning bell by your Holy Spirit and show us what we are about to do so that we might turn from it. We need your help, Father, to walk the way you want us to walk. And in Jesus' name, our Father, we trust you to do it. We make every prayer for His glory and that He might be lifted up in us. In Jesus' sweet and precious name, amen. Amen. James, would you come now, please? As we sing our closing hymn, if you are here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not sure that you've been born again, you don't know it for sure, I want to give you an invitation to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you want to know Jesus and want to know for sure that you're saved, you want to do it today, I invite you to come as we're singing or as the service is concluding, come and talk with me personally if you would. Let me pray with you and share with you the good things that God has in store for you.
Stand, please. Hymn is 645.
Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King, our Healer, our Deliverer, our Baptizer, our all in all. We confess before you this morning, Father, that Jesus Christ is the answer to the cry of man, that He's the answer to every cry that every man has ever uttered. We thank you this morning, Father, that we can know Jesus personally, and through Him, we may know you. We thank you, Father, that it's by the power of your Spirit that causes this wonderful miracle to take place, this wonderful miracle of the new birth that causes us to be born into the family of God, that causes us to be adopted by you as sons and daughters, that causes us to receive the inheritance of God, to be joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you today that you've created a place like this, where we might come and worship you freely, where we might come and answer the call of the Spirit of God within us,
we might come and bless and worship and honor you. For we want you to know this morning, Father, that we love you with all of our heart. We love you with all of our soul. We love you with all of our strength and our might. We're not ashamed of the fact that we do. We're not embarrassed that we love you like we love no other. We're not disappointed, confounded, or confused because the Spirit of the living God dwells within us. Father, as we praise you this morning, as we worship you in the name of the Lord Jesus, our prayer is that you would find our praise to be a sweet offering, a fragrant aroma, lifting up unto heaven. For we desire, Father, this morning above all things, to bless you and to adorn the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we are gathered, we know that the service is yours. We're here to participate in it, but you've called us here. You are the reason why we're here. We didn't come to honor one another, but we came to honor and bless you. And so, Father, that which you desire to do this morning in the lives of individuals or in the life of the fellowship as a whole, whatever it is that you desire to have accomplished today, Father, we yield to you completely. Not only permit, but encourage you to have your way, Lord. We'll do nothing here today that would inhibit or hinder your Spirit in any way. For we know that it's the letter that killeth, but it's the Spirit that giveth the life. We want your Spirit to have free sway to do whatever is pleasing in your sight. Now we believe, our Father, today that as we pray and as we worship and as we minister the word, that the truth of your gospel will go forth. Jesus said that ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We believe this morning, Father, that as your truth goes forth in music, in word, and even as we pray, that you will cause the captives to be set free, those that are bound to be freed by your word. We praise you and thank you and honor you for all that is accomplished this morning, for we know that it's your Spirit that worketh in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. In Jesus' name we pray.